segment of Northwest Wild Country is brought to you by Berkley. Catch more fish with Berkley.
Early quick activity on the Spiderwire text line. We've got a question here from the 206. How can I podcast the show? I will have to apologize. I have been a little bit lax in the podcast posting of the last week because I've been on the road. As of later this morning, I will have the last 2 weeks caught up. Go to iHeart. You can program it into your phone where it automatically delivers to you podcasts, or the podcast will soon be available again on iTunes. Or you can go to Sports Radio 950 KJR. You can find your podcast to whoever asked the question in the 206. Those three methods. So, Bill, we have had the pleasure over the past handful of months of reporting Chinook fishing in Marine Area 13. Now, we've been on the air for 14 years. And it feels like it's been that long since we could report that there has actually been some decent summer Chinook fishing. It hasn't been that long, of course. Right. However, it feels that way because we just haven't had a chance to talk about much in Marine Area 13 relative to Chinook salmon.
But everybody I talk to, my friend Mike's been going out there with his buddies getting fish every time. Yeah. Our partner Sean Rushfield, who calls in all the time, our jigging friend Sean.
Caught a fish on the air.
Every time he's been out, they get their limits, not just one. Like when you're Chinook fishing, one is good. They're getting limits. That is outstanding.
So I figured it would behoove us to kind of take a little bit of a look back at the season as it has just finished, the summer Chinook season, with David Dietrich. This is a guy who lives down there. He makes his living down there as a charter guy, Marine Area 11 and 13. I believe he fishes some Area 10 as well. But David, let's take a look at the Chinook season that we just had in 13. I mean, just from talking to the folks who we know, it seems as though there were some fish to be had. Let's get your report. How would you assess the recently completed summer salmon season in 13?
The season in 13 has been just what you guys said. It's been good, getting good numbers of fish and good size. And, you know, guys that are on their game are going out and doing just what you said, getting at least a fish every time. And if they're not limiting out with Chinook, then they're getting coho as well.
I mean,
it's been a fantastic season, guys.
That's encouraging. I mean, we go on and on and on about how important it is for us to have a viable local salmon fishery.
Hell,
and I'm telling you right now, if you live in Tacoma, Olympia, and so forth, the fact that you could go out into your home waters and catch a Chinook salmon is a big deal.
Oh, it's a huge deal.
And not to say that it's absolutely correlated, but it sure seems like it is. You know, we saw so much, and I'm still seeing so much bait fish in the water, more than I've ever seen.
Really?
And the most candlefish I counted out of one fish's stomach was 24 this season. You know, I've never seen anything like that before. And in June, when the water temperatures were still cold, we were getting blackmouth up to about 11 pounds right on the beaches, crashing bait on the beaches.
Outstanding.
So it was an incredible year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about blackmouth crashing on the beach. You got me all excited now. I'm flustered. There, if you're a fly fisherman, wow, what an opportunity if you just use something that matches the hatch, right?
Yeah, right. And that's what we do a lot of down here is fly fishing and light tackle because it just works better down here. It works well down here. MA13 and 11 are small, and being able to watch coho and blackmouth by the schools ripping through big fields of bait fish three or four times, they beach themselves. You know, watching an 8-pound blackmouth beach itself eating fish, and then you cast to it once it's back in the water and it takes again. I mean, it's incredible. And that happened three or four times this year.
That's super cool. Now you've got us both distracted. We're gonna go ahead and hit that part of the program here in a little bit. But David, let's go ahead and finish up as far as kind of a summary of the season as a win. I mean, obviously, really good. Now as we move ahead into September, October, what are the opportunities that you will pay the most attention to?
September and October, I will move almost exclusively into Marine Area 13. because it's such a consistent fishery. The chum are showing up, and they're a ton of fun. You know, they're strong, big salmon. They're fun to fight. But the Chinook, I'm sorry, the coho fishery will really pick up in the South Sound. And honestly, the cutthroat get nice and chunky. And you know, on a good day, you can go out and expect to catch 20 to land 20 to 30 coho slash cutthroat. And that goes all the way into December. So it's fantastic.
David, I do remember this was a while ago. I would say even back into the 80s, I'd go in places like North Bay. I'd go down to Hammersley Inlet, places like that. There were right now what seemed to be the peak of the coho runs. They just start showing up in good numbers right to the first part of October. But right now, the end of September, used to be just dandy down there. Do we still see those runs down there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do. And it is fun because the pressure down there is very light. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hardly ever see any other fishermen. So the fish are bitey all the way into October. And you know, they're net pen coho, so they don't really have anywhere to go. So they just kind of sort of mill around until we catch them. So
I'd love
them. It's a
blast. So what am I using? Am I using on a bait fish pattern? Am I using in a tractor pattern like a puller shrimp? Or do I want to match the hatch, or can I do both? What do you do?
Let's do this in two different segments. Number one, let's talk about it from the fly guy standpoint, and then secondarily, let's go more basic and talk about it from a standpoint of somebody who may be interested in trying the fly fishing deal out, but doesn't really know it all that well.
Okay, well, from the fly fisherman standpoint, the further into light tackle's the same.
Mm-hmm.
We use surface little bait fish poppers with micro spinning rods in late October, November, when we're using surface patterns like really light, small spiders and gurglers, barely stripping them on, like little krill. And the coho will come up and smack those things.
Man. Yeah. That's really cool.
It can be challenging. The numbers aren't always there, but the fish are big and they're still bright. But now in September, bait fish patterns, little shrimp patterns. A fly fisherman is actually going to do better not matching the hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they have 10,000 regulars to choose from, they can tell that yours looks different.
Right.
So it's better to just stand out. Use something bright, shiny, that stands out from the bait fish that you're fishing around.
It's just like the blanket hatches when you're trout fishing. If you got the top of the water is covered with brown mayflies, take a great big white wolf and throw it out there, something totally different.
Yeah, same
Boom,
kind of thing.
Big yellow
right.
something. Yeah, same kind of deal. Yeah, it's got to be different. Or the odds of that fish finding your gear, if it matches perfectly, good luck.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
How heavy is
keyed in on it? But if you put something different in front of their face, and you know, our fish here, salmon and trout, they have a really high prey drive, meaning they want to chase stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
So before they get into that holding period stuff, more important than matching the hatch, like, is presentation. If you want the fish to kill, you need to make it chase.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to move that stuff really fast, faster than you would think. And that's what engages their kill drive.
Sure, they can swim 17 miles an hour. That's not a problem.
Yeah, they're fast. Uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah, and for a fly fisherman, you're not going to outstrip the fish. It's just not going to happen.
Tell us a little bit about the weight, the size of the gear. Like, what are you fishing, David?
Yeah, I fish for my light tackle stuff, which is a lot of fun. I try to go as light as I can. So I literally have 3.5-foot micro spinning rods with 15-pound braid, and you know, I use 8-pound test mono or fluoro,
sure,
depending on if I want to stay on the surface or I want to get underneath.
Well, that's what I use. That's what I use for big trout.
Yeah,
same
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
The same braid.
Yeah.
Braid.
Right.
Eight,
yeah. I mean,
8-pound top shot on it. You bet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the best problem that we have is we have to chase big fish down with the boat. Who cares?
Right.
You know, that's fun.
Sure. Well, you figure in the big open water like that,
yeah.
if there's not going to go over a waterfall or go around a rock, they're just going to go. So you just got to kind
of
go
all kinds of places to go with them. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, my boat, both my boats have GPS control, bow mounted trolling motors. So we're just locked into place, or I can follow the fish anywhere we want. Everything's silent. It's money. But fly fishing, for the cutthroat, for a beach fisherman, a six weight is a good idea. For a boat angler, for the cutthroat, I like to use a four weight.
Mm-hmm.
And for the salmon, I personally like to use a five, but a six is also a good idea.
Sure. What I usually do, man,
an 8-pound blackmouth.
There you go.
Weight can come in handy.
Well, I like the only time I carry I usually go three weights and four weights from the beach. But unless it's windy, then I'll pull out the five. That's
right.
The big stick.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You need the you need that extra punch from the wind. But from the boat, you especially in 13, there is always vast stretches of beaches with no wind, no matter what. So
always something showing.
I like a three. My favorite rod is a three weight rod for. That's what I personally use for cutthroat.
Absolutely.
And the biggest fish I've landed on it was a 7-pound coho.
Ha! No, and it wasn't a problem, was it?
No, you just take you take your time and you use the boat for leverage.
Let's talk through then sort of locating these fish. Give us some advice on what to look for if we're in search of these fish.
Well, I would tell you to look for. It depends on the area. In Marine Area 11, I'm looking for clear flowing water. That hopefully is under 55 degrees. Temperature is a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
If I can find water that's clear and flowing in the right season, you know, and it's under 55 degrees in 2 feet, there will be fish there. It will happen.
Cool.
Especially if you can go south, the faster moving the water, the more fish there will be. And it doesn't make sense to us unless you see it and just watch it, which I have because it's my job. But fish in moving water up till about 4 or 5 knots, they don't have to swim. They just sit still. Where fish in still water, they're swimming around. So they seek out fast-moving water to rest where the bait fish are getting pushed in front of them by the water just like they would in a river. So it really seems to me that when they get down in the South Sound where I fish, they're actually looking for river-like conditions, and if you can find that in the salt water without variance, you will find fish.
Oh, he's right. There are places way down in the South Sound. You got to get creative. Get down. I'll give you one name, Hammersley Inlet. Look in that area. You'll find your river conditions down there you're looking for, and it is amazing. Right now, the cutthroat fishing, especially in these areas, is nuts. It's just like you're swinging a fly in a river. It's the coolest fishing ever.
You are,
ever.
Yeah. You're fishing a 7-mile saltwater river. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're fishing.
David.
And you know what? It's special because it's super unique.
David, let's talk a little bit about opportunities to fish with you. How are your bookings? Do you have room in September, October? What's your situation?
Yeah, I do have some room in October. My September's pretty booked. I have 2 days open in September, but October... I have a couple Wednesdays and 2 Saturdays that are open. I usually do 4-hour trips for salmon because it's easier. It's a little bit more technically demanding than cutthroat fishing. So people's focus, I like to keep it higher, you know, and I like to keep people fishing 4 hours well as opposed to 6.5 or 7 hours with 3 or 4 of it done poorly,
and
you know,
fading at the end, always
yeah,
fading.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Lap number four.
You know, yeah. it's just the way that it is when you're focused and standing in the boat and you know, you're fishing for 4 hours straight, and we don't usually take any breaks other than running around. It's you get tired.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Sure.
And why not stop when they're hungry for more?
Do you have the specific dates in September that you're open off the top of your head?
You know what? I don't off the top of my head. Right. And my wife, who's training for a marathon, has all my stuff in the van.
Not a problem, dude. Let her train. We'll get that information from you. Listen, Bill, we talked to like a bunch of guys who are great. I want to fish with this guy.
Me too.
More than anybody we've spoken to in the past six months.
Only because that's where I lived for so many years and just moved away from that spot.
Right.
I want to go down there and do that.
Go to www.adventure-angling.com. That is David Dietrich. David, thank you so much for the information.
Man.
What a great bit of information. Really appreciate it. We'll be checking in with you again real soon, my friend.
Mm. Hey, thanks, Joel. Thanks, Bill. It's been a pleasure, guys.
My pleasure, man.
Yeah. Take it easy.
Thanks, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. If that guy doesn't get you excited about that particular fishery, then you just need to check your pulse.
That's fact.
If it's kind of a shame that we don't have the TV cameras on right now, because you would have seen two middle-aged fellas who look like children grinning from ear to ear on this old deal.
That's right.
Sounds like fun.
You know the old saying, if I had lipstick on my, it'd be on my ears. Right. That's a grin.
Yeah. David Dietrich, Adventure Angling, www.adventure-angling.com. He also operates for Gig Harbor Fishing, who you can check out on Facebook. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll head north. We'll connect with Doug St. Denis of Ridge to Rivers Outfitters. Get a report on the Snohomish System Coho. Also get a little bit of a post-mortem on the humpy season that actually never was up there.
Yoy.
The phones are open, 800-829-0950. The SpiderWire text line question of the day, which will be prized up at the end of the show with a copy of Hank Shaw's book, Buck Moose.
Do I win?
You do not win.
Damn
you cannot
it.
Win.
Oh,
the question is, share your single best way to prepare a piece of salmon. Simple question. Give us a simple answer.
I still win.
And come on back to Sports Radio 950 KJR.